You can find our reading for tonight in Proverbs 11, verses 1 to 20. A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but the just weight is his delight. When pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with the humble is wisdom. The integrity of the upright guides them, but the crookedness of the treacherous destroys them. Riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. The righteousness of the blameless keeps his way straight, but the wicked falls by his own wickedness. The righteousness of the upright delivers them, but the treasures are taken captive by their lust. When the wicked dies, his hope will perish, and the expectation of wealth perishes too. The righteous is delivered from trouble, and the wicked walks into it instead. With his mouth, the godless man would destroy his neighbor, but by knowledge, the righteous are delivered. When it goes well with the righteous, the city rejoices, and when the wicked perish, there are shouts of gladness. By the blessing of the upright, a city is exalted, but by the mouth of the wicked, it is overthrown. Whoever belittles his neighbor lacks sense, but a man of understanding remains silent. Whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy in spirit keeps a thing covered. Where there is no guidance, a people falls, but in an abundance of counselors there is safety. Whoever puts up security for a stranger will surely suffer harm. But he who hates striking hands and pledge is secure. A gracious woman gets honor, and violent men get riches. A man who is kind benefits himself, but a cruel man hurts himself. The wicked earns deceptive wages, but one who sows righteousness gets a sure reward. Whoever is steadfast in righteousness will live, but he who pursues evil will die. Those of crooked heart are an abomination to the Lord, but those of blameless ways are his delight. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, good evening, everybody. Tell you what, just to give us a fighting chance of staying awake for the next few minutes, why don't we stand up? Not for the whole sermon, don't worry. And why don't we pray standing up, just to let the blood remember that there are other parts of our bodies as well. Let's pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you that the unfolding of your word brings light and insight to the simple. Father, compared to your heavenly wisdom, we are surely simple, with little thoughts, little minds, and little hearts. And so we ask, gracious God, that by your Spirit now you would be pleased to open up your word to us, speak to us, comfort us where we need comfort, rebuke us where we must hear your rebuke, challenge us and change us, show us Christ and mould us into his image. And Father, as we have sung, so we pray again, may the love of Jesus fill us as the waters fill the sea, that we would exalt him and put ourselves lower and find thus true victory and true integrity. And it's for Jesus' sake that we pray. Amen. Well, please do take a seat again. And you should have, hopefully, a little handout that you were given when you came in with all the verses that you'll need as we look at the book of Proverbs together and the theme of integrity. As we start, let me tell you the motto of a well-known English supermarket, the English equivalent to Rewe, say. Sainsbury's, that's the name of the supermarket. Sainsbury's, live well for less. Live well for less. In other words, come shop at our supermarket, and it won't cost you that much, but the taste, the quality will be great. It's a good slogan. However, in September 2014, a poster appeared in the window of one of Sainsbury's supermarkets. The poster had the following caption, along with a picture of a wallet. Let's encourage every customer to spend an additional 50 pence during each shopping trip between now and the year end. Live well for less. Let's encourage every customer to spend more. What had happened was that somebody had put out on the window for every customer to see a poster that was only meant for the employees. And so Sainsbury's was left slightly embarrassed trying to find out which supermarket it was exactly that had put that poster in the wrong place. But actually, what we see here with Sainsbury's and their two messages and their lack of integrity at that time, what we see there is actually what we can see all over the world. We live in an age where integrity and authenticity are, well, they're greatly praised, but they're little practiced. I think of many examples of this. The media calls us to be true to ourselves, as long as that means doing what they say is good. You can think of Instagram that will let you post pictures of what's really going on in your life, once you've edited them heavily, so that they don't look like the real you. Or we can think of political leaders who are celebrated and rejoiced in many places, although everyone knows they have no integrity, no honesty, and a lot of deceit. And if we're honest as well, we probably don't need to think too hard before we can think of Christian leaders and Christians who have been caught in scandal, where even in the church, it seems, integrity has gone missing. And so as we look at the book of Proverbs tonight, we want to see four things about integrity. Firstly, what is integrity? Secondly, what will it bring us? What are the benefits of it? What will it cost us to forsake it, thirdly? And then finally, how do we get integrity? How do we obtain it? Well, firstly then, what is integrity? And in the book of Proverbs, integrity is more than just living in step with your own personal values. Integrity means wholeheartedly living in obedience to God's word, wholeheartedly living in line with God's word. Look at Proverbs 14, verse 2 with me. Whoever walks in uprightness fears the Lord, but he who is devious, deceitful in his ways, despises him. And the way poetry in the book of Proverbs usually works is this. You'll have a sentence with two parts, and the second part of that sentence will further explain the first part. The second part will further explain the first part. And that's exactly what we have here. What does it mean to walk in uprightness, to walk in integrity and fearing the Lord? Well, it means don't be devious, don't be deceitful in dealings with God and with others. Do not despise God and think little of him. And this impacts what we do and what we say. What Proverbs calls there in this verse are our walk, our visible lifestyle. And to give some examples of what this would look like, integrity means not stealing from our employer at work by wasting office time online. Integrity means not complaining about our colleagues or our neighbours or our friends or even our spouse behind their backs. It means not cheating customers or others by charging them unfair prices. It means keeping our word when we promise something to someone. And more than that, it means not disowning Christ when we have an opportunity to talk about him, to speak of him. It means not wearing a mask on any day and then throwing it away the next. Integrity is obedience to God in the big things and in the small things, in the visible things and the unseen things. It's obedience to God when it's costly. That's what it means to walk in uprightness, to walk in integrity. Now, if that sounds very intimidating, maybe one quick clarification is helpful. Walking in integrity does not mean walking in sinless perfection. Proverbs 14 verse 9 makes it clear that it is those with integrity, it is the upright, who know that they are sinners. Look at Proverbs 14 verse 9 with me. Fools mock at the guilt offering, but the upright enjoy acceptance with God. And here it is the upright who confess their guilt before God. Those who are upright know that they have fallen short, know that they are guilty, and so they confess it to God. They bring him the sacrifice that he desires, and they receive forgiveness and trust that they will receive grace to be changed. But by contrast, those who have no integrity just laugh at this. And it is those with no integrity who are the loudest champions, the loudest boasters in their own supposed righteousness. Integrity then, by its very nature, doesn't just stop at the externals, doesn't just stop at what is visible, but digs deep into our hearts, lifts back the veil, and demands that the desires of our hearts dance along to the same tune as our actions and our words. And fundamentally, as Proverbs 14 verse 2 puts it, integrity is born of a heart that fears the Lord. A heart that fears the Lord. And the opposite then, dishonesty and hypocrisy come from, well, a heart that despises the Lord. And what we want to see here right at the beginning is this is the very heart of Christianity. I don't know what you think Christianity is. Maybe this is your first time in a church tonight. Well, Christianity is not primarily about external obedience, about keeping up a right appearance. It is about internal realities, internal love that is then made visible. A heart that loves God and therefore lives for him. See, our God, the real and living God of the Bible who has made us and has created us, he's not after fake robots. He doesn't want people who are insincere followers of him claiming his name just so that they can get his goodies and his stuff, not really caring for him, the giver, at all. What God really wants, what God desires, and why he has given us the Lord Jesus, is that we would share in his love, that we would get him himself, relationship and fellowship with him, so much more than just his stuff. So if you put all of this together, here's the result. Integrity is to wholeheartedly live with God and in accordance with his word. Now, if that's what integrity is, why is it so important to get it? Why is it so important to obtain it? And that brings us to our second heading, the shield you want, the benefits of integrity. Now, you might think you know what a shield looks like, but then you come along to what the Bible says is supposed to be our shield, and you have to look again. Integrity is a shield. It is a shield that is desirable, but it doesn't always look like a shield. And Proverbs, we find here, is leading us into the reality of what God's wisdom looks like. God's wisdom doesn't look like the wisdom of this world. God's wisdom is fundamentally and ultimately fulfilled in Jesus Christ, the infinite man who became, the infinite God who became man. The eternal God and righteous King who died for unrighteous people. That is how the wisdom of God finds itself, shows itself, reveals itself. This is how Martin Luther put it. In the midst of death, we are in life. In the midst of death, we are in life. And so here we find a type of shield that gives us life even in the thick of all that seems to bury us. Type of wisdom that prepares a table for us not when everything is peaceful and quiet, but right there in the midst of our enemies, as Psalm 23 puts it. So all of this to say, integrity is a shield that doesn't always look like a shield. It is a shield that brings us sometimes into dangerous places, places we do not want to be, but places where God will meet us. So how then does this work? How is integrity a shield? Well, as we look, we see that wholehearted obedience to God makes it less likely that we will make foolish decisions. Those who feed on the words of our wise God grow in wisdom, grow in discernment. Proverbs 2 verse 7. God stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity. For those who obey God's commandments, for those who take God at his word and follow him at his word, God has treasure chambers full of his grace and his goodness, to which he opens the door and beckons us in and lets us enjoy them. God's wisdom brings us there. God's wisdom teaches us to see the world in the clarity of God's word. It shields us from the traps, the dangers, the pitfalls we would otherwise fall into. Proverbs 11 verse 3. The integrity of the upright guides them, but the crookedness of the treacherous destroys them. How does that work? Some examples. Not lying to your friends will keep you from being trapped in the web of lies that one has to keep on spinning to keep the first lie intact. One lie is never enough. There's always a second lie needed to cover the first. Not cheating on your spouse will guide you into a deeper and better relationship with him or with her. And you will walk securely in your integrity. You will not have to carry around with you, stumbling under the weight, that great and heavy box of secrets that no one can ever know about, where the world would seem to end if they were discovered. Proverbs 10 verse 9, whoever walks in integrity walks securely, walks safely. But he who makes his ways crooked will be found out. And there's the way out of that paranoia, the way out of distrust, the way out of fearing exposure for those things of the past and those secret sins. Integrity, wholehearted obedience to God's word. And it doesn't just end there. Integrity is not just a shield to help us in our relationships with each other. Integrity is a shield that guards our assurance that we belong to Jesus Christ. Look at Proverbs 2:21. For the upright will inhabit the land, and those with integrity will remain in it. Now, what does this land promise have to do with assurance? Well, in the Old Testament, to speak of inhabiting the land, living in God's promised land, was another way of saying to receive God's promised salvation. To be in the land, to be in the land that God had promised, was to be sure that you would receive God's promised salvation. To put this in New Testament terms, we speak of being in Christ. So the Proverbs 2:21 could run, for the upright will live in Christ, and those with integrity will remain in him. And so integrity is the shield that guards our assurance, so that even as the devil's fiery darts fly all over us, fly against us and get in our face, we are not alone. We walk knowing that Jesus guides us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. We walk confidently, knowing that an almighty God watches over our every step, even over our every hair, so that not one of them falls without his will and purpose. Guiding us, guarding our faith, sustaining us even in the midst of disasters and droughts and deserts. Integrity, walking in obedience to God's word, reminds us, gives us faith in the assurance that Jesus is watching over us as his people, making sure that not one of us is lost, that we were all kept for the day of his return. So what's the best way to lose your assurance, to lose your grip on God's promises? Stop living for God. Try and have the best of both worlds. Try snacking on sin and snacking on righteousness and on holiness. And as you do so, you'll find that both begin to taste foul, and neither makes you happy. God's promises will begin to taste like they're made of wet paper, ready to break under your feet at the next step. That is the way to lose assurance, to forsake integrity. Much better to walk then in wholehearted obedience to God under the light of his smile. Proverbs 11:20. Those of blameless ways are his delight. And again, he's not saying those who are always sinless, but those who are quick to confess their sin, those who are quick to fight their sin, those who turn from it, those who trust in Christ are God's delight. And we must see too that even if integrity is a shield that does not always look like a shield that brings us into places we do not sometimes want to be, that it then is a shield that comes with a cost. Jesus himself warned that following him wholeheartedly will not lead to an easy life, but rather that family and friends and loved ones will turn on us and betray us. Matthew 10 verses 21 to 22. That even there, even in the midst of betrayal and rejection as we follow Christ, Christ promises us that his kindness will be with us. He is able to prepare a table for us in the midst of our enemies. Proverbs 20, verse 21. Whoever pursues righteousness and kindness will find life, righteousness and honor, even on the battlefield, even in the midst of rejection, even in the face of the jaws of death. For the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. Proverbs 4:18. And so right now, if you feel like the light of your integrity, if your attempts to live for Christ is serving only as a light that attracts predators, only as a light that attracts trouble and grief, hold on, because it will be just a little while, just a little while. And then you will enter into the joy of your master and hear his voice say to you, "Well done, good and faithful servant," as on that day you shine like the midday sun with nothing and no one to cloud your joy. Integrity is the shield that we want. It is the shield we must have if we do not want the bread that will break us. Which brings us to our third heading. The bread that will break you, the cost of forsaking integrity. So pause, take a deep breath, summon all your imaginative power, and picture the scene with me. It is no longer a swelteringly hot summer's evening. It is now the depths of winter, and it is freezing cold outside. It has been a long, hard day at work, and you are absolutely shattered. Worse yet, as you leave the bakery on your way home, it has just begun to rain, and there's still 500 meters to go. Finally, you get in, out of the cold, out of the rain, and you get into the kitchen, and you make yourself some supper, some Abendbrot. You sit down at the table with all that you need before you, that loaf of bread that you've just bought from the bakery, and it feels just right in your hand as you start cutting off a slice. Apologies if you're gluten intolerant. And it's still warm, it's still smelling good. And so you cut a thick slice, and you get the really good butter that you've treated yourself to, the French salted butter. None of this yar stuff. And you push it, you spread some of this butter on thickly onto the bread, and you pause. Just to enjoy the smell of the bread, to enjoy the sound of the rain coming in against the window, but not coming into the flat. To enjoy the darkness that's outside and the nice cozy lamplight inside. And with all the joy your weary body can bring together, you take this little bit of bread, in my case this huge piece of bread, you lift it up, put it in your mouth and begin to chew, and crack and crunch. Outraged, disgusted, shocked, you spit the bread back out onto the plate to look down. What is the problem? What has happened? Why has it hurt so much? And there amongst the bits of broken teeth and the blood and the saliva lies a plate full of small stones. Proverbs 20 verse 17. Bread gained by deceit is sweet to a man, but afterward his mouth is full of gravel. Proverbs tells us integrity is a shield we need, and it warns us that any of life's good and noble and wonderful pleasures that we will try and gain for ourselves through deceit will turn to stones in our mouths and lead in our bellies. Crack, crunch. Anything that is won through forsaking integrity will not benefit us. It will not advance us. It will not make us flourish. It will shrivel us, distress us, destroy us. It will bring us loss. Proverbs 10 verse 2. Treasures gained by wickedness do not profit. That means they do not give you safety, security, or comfort. Proverbs 12 verse 3. No one is established by wickedness. And sure, for a while in this fallen world, it might look that abandoning integrity will get you to the top spot, will get you to the sweet life, to the things you want, to the love you desire, to the person you want to be with. And yet pride still comes before destruction, and a proud spirit before a big fall. The higher you can get, having thrown integrity behind you, friends, that is just the deeper the fall will be. And the more gravel will be left in your mouth. And dear friends, this is really practical. What this means is, if you would call yourself a Christian tonight, if you would say, yeah, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian, I think, and yet you are regularly chewing gravel, you are regularly sinning, with no desire of turning away from it, you need to know that if you do not repent and believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you do not turn from your sin and believe in Jesus, this little secret habit, or maybe open habit, will fill your mouth with gravel for all eternity. It will ruin you. Proverbs 11 verse 20. Those of crooked heart are an abomination to the Lord, but those of blameless ways are his delight. The choice is there. Be of crooked heart, claiming the name of Christ and yet not living in him, for him, not trusting him, or believe in him, forsake sin, and become God's delight in Christ. Well, this leaves us really with one final question then. How is integrity to be obtained? If integrity is wholeheartedly living in line with God's word, in obedience to God, if it is a shield we need, and if forsaking it will just fill our mouths with stones, how do we get integrity? How do I become a person of greater integrity? And again, just let me say, if you're asking that question just for the sake of being able to pat yourself on the shoulder, of being able to climb higher up the moral ladder and have the status of a moral person, a righteous person, then the short answer is you can't. You can't become, or you can't have more integrity because, dear friends, you do not want it. You just want the status. Proverbs 14 verse 2 tells us at the most basic level, the most fundamental level of who we are, the degree to which we fear God is the degree to which we have integrity. And the degree to which we despise him is the degree to which integrity is impossible for us. Whoever walks in unrighteousness fears the Lord, but he who is devious in his ways despises him. Integrity is impossible as long as you despise God. Because as long as you despise God, as long as you think little of him, something else will be your God. Something else will be the shiny thing that you have to have at all costs. But if you fear God, then the doors are opened, and the path that you will walk on is integrity. So the million-dollar question, how do you start fearing God instead of despising him? How do you get a change of heart? And the simple answer is, look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Lord Jesus isn't just an example of perfect integrity, of consistently obeying God, of keeping in line with his word. The Lord Jesus isn't just the one who commands us to live in integrity. The Lord Jesus is the one who came for us to make integrity possible. The one who lived a perfect life for us and then descended into death for us. into scorn and condemnation and suffering so that we could be lifted out. The Bible puts it like this in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21. For our sake God made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him, that is in Christ, we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus Christ being made to be sin, being made to be hypocrisy and deceit and unrighteousness for us, so that hypocrites and liars, tricksters and cheats like you and like me can be welcomed, can be accepted, can be forgiven and can be changed by God. So look at Christ. Read about him in his word, listen to songs about him, talk to other people about him. Whatever you do, have him in your mind and in your heart, and keep him there, and keep looking at him until his love melts your heart, until his love gives you faith and hope and strength. Because the wonderful glory of the Lord Jesus is that as we look at him, as we keep our eyes fixed on him by faith, he is able to change our eyes, change our hearts, so that seeing him, we begin to see something we'd never seen before. We see true love displayed for us, given to us. Looking at him, we find a change of heart. Our hearts become soft and melted, desiring him above all else. The way to fearing God, the way to living in integrity, starts and always continues with forevermore believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now what this means, if you would call yourself a Christian, if you really do believe in the Lord Jesus, but you're struggling, there are areas of your life which are a battle and a fight, and at times it feels like you're losing the battle more than you're winning. What this means is, please know that that little pet sin is a monster trying to kill you. Please know that that little pet sin is a monster trying to kill you. It's not cute, it's not cuddly, it wants you dead on the floor. It's not harmless. And so the message for you, the message for us too, is the same. Repent and believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Look to Christ. And you might ask, you might think, gosh, is there nothing more practical I can do? Nothing more hands-on? Nothing that's more, oh, it's got more oomph to it, more strength to it. But friends, the most practical thing we can do to fight sin, the most practical step we can take in our longing for integrity is faith in the Lord Jesus. Because faith isn't just some mental assent. It's not just some little box you tick in your head. Faith is the crutch you lean on. The thing that your heart reaches out after, grabs hold of and never lets go of. Whatever your heart does that to, that is the thing your faith really lies in. And so to look upon Jesus, to believe in Jesus, to latch onto him, to trust him and hold on him and lean on him, is to let go of all that would tempt us away from integrity. To lean on him is to be led into integrity, as we find him to be more desirable, more delightful, more enjoyable, more true and more worthy and more committed to us of our good than anything else this world could offer. So keep looking at Christ crucified. Keep looking at Christ risen until your heart begins to spit out in disgust its secret lusts and its secret habits and its secret idols. Keep looking at Christ. And please, please, don't feel you have to fight alone. God has saved us not to be a people of individuals who fight against sin alone and battle through the hardness of life alone, but to be a people who are brothers and sisters to each other. So please tell someone you can trust, a brother or sister in Christ, if there is something in your life that you know is ruining your integrity, ruining your walk with God, talk to someone, get some help, get someone to help you look at Christ and find him to be delightful. Integrity is wholehearted obedience to God's word. The shield we need. To forsake it is to chew gravel. And to get it, look at the Lord Jesus and believe in him and keep on doing so. Let's pray. O great God, you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God, and not any of the idols that we so often run to. Teach us your ways, O Lord, that we may walk in your truth. Unite our hearts to fear your name, that we would not run after idols, that we would not set worthless things before our eyes and make them our gods. Grant us to be a people who give thanks to you, O Lord our God, with our whole heart, who glorify your name wholeheartedly, who live in obedience to your word. And please, we pray, do what we find so hard to do. Tear away from us all that would seek to throw Christ from his throne, that we would be a people who live in holiness, who live in integrity, who live in obedience to your word. For Jesus' sake we ask. Amen.